Okay, here we go. Let's see. Is Tom coming in? Is Tom coming through the magic door? Should I check the basement? Sometimes Tom goes down to the basement to practice his French. In the basement? Down in the basement. Can I stop the music 1 second, please? I'm going to make a bold prediction here. I'm going to say Tom is not going to be. I've noticed a pattern, Jacob, that Tom is not in on Fridays. Am I the only one that is noticing this? Am I the only person that notices for some reason Tom is not in on Fridays?
No, I've heard similar rumblings, I think.
Okay. But I'm not crazy.
No, correct. Not well, I mean, not for the
reason. Wait, why did you pause on that? Hold on. Saved by the Dixie Chicken. Sherry joins us on a Friday. Thank you, Sherry. And I'm not crazy, am I?
No, certainly not. And I've begun to notice that Tom isn't on here on Fridays either.
And you've noticed
weird.
That because you're on Fridays.
That's right.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Yes.
You're like, oh, I see. I put two and two together. Tom is not there, but I am there. So therefore,
yeah.
I see that I, yeah. And then you got a paycheck from Cairo. Diving in. Aha! All right. Sherry joins us from Northern Virginia. A gal that's been in this crazy radio business for more than 35 years dealing with phony guys with phony voices. And Jacob said to me on Monday or something, he's like, you know, I think we got to do a better job of like trying to introduce Sherry to the audience. And I was like, yeah, come up with another idea.
Right, skip it. Nobody cares.
I mean, yeah, what am I going to do? Hey, everybody, what should I meet Sherry? And then at 4 o'clock, I got to do the same thing again with the new listeners. Got to constantly keep introducing you. It's like when you bring a girl home and then all of a sudden relatives come by and then you have to constantly. Now, how did you two meet? Just explain that. About 15 minutes. Now the two of you, now you've been dating for a while now. It's like, oh, my God, there's somebody else and somebody else comes in. Have you met Sherry? How did those two meet? I don't know.
Well, thank you, Jacob. Golly. Thank you for trying. It was a sweet effort, really.
Here's somebody we see all the time. She doesn't need Tom to be out in order to get on the air.
No way.
Now, don't stand between Hannah and an open microphone. This gal, she's got 7:30 in the morning, 10:15. Just anything. If it's in, it smells at all like news, I'm on it. What do you want to talk about? This is great for you. By the way, say hi to Sherry coming in from Northern Virginia. If you want to know anything about her, ask Jacob.
Okay. Yeah, Jacob, you and I later, okay? We'll figure it out.
All right, so what's the latest on the idea if somebody's carrying drugs and caught in the state of Washington?
The latest on that is that we, if it were all a done deal today, based on what has passed thus far, we would still have a crime for simple possession of drugs. It would, instead of being a felony, as it was, now be a gross misdemeanor. There would be still the opportunity for treatment, but it would be, you know, the gross misdemeanor as opposed to just not being a law. There wasn't going to be any criminal aspect to it whatsoever under the Monca-Dingra bill. And then there was, I don't know, they took it up on the Senate floor yesterday. There was really maybe 40 amendments. But the bizarre thing was the vote. There is so much. It's not a partisan thing. You had half of the Democrats and half of the Republicans vote against this bill that passed out last night on the floor. And the other half of the Republicans and the other half of the Democrats voting for it. There's a lot of concern that anything, you know, things are being rushed. There's a lot of concern that nothing will get done. There's a concern that there's not enough of a racial equity lens to it to ensure that those disproportionately impacted, historically by the war on drugs we're not going to fix that for them and change our ways. And then there's, you know, what do you do with people who don't go to treatment and don't get better after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. And all of that came out on the floor. In the end, you had again, a gross misdemeanor. But it's not done yet. There's another bill over in the House. So that is going to, I believe that has a hearing on Monday. And my understanding is that the House leadership perhaps wants something a little less than a gross misdemeanor that doesn't really touch the criminal justice system, like a civil infraction, which was like a ticket, right? Like a traffic ticket, which was something that was also brought in one of the, you know, dozens of amendments in the Senate last night, but that one didn't pass. So here's how this debate went. Again, very bizarre. You had Democratic Senator Mark Mullett, who was a yes, offering this.
We've heard from folks on the right and folks on the left that they're unhappy with the bill in front of us. But our responsibility is to govern. And I think it's important that we try to pass legislation that can actually be signed by the governor by April 25th. I think everyone has to keep an open mind and realize they're not going to get the exact version that they want. But we cannot have nothing on the books.
So what ended up passing was actually a striking amendment that came from Republican Senator John Braun. So he said he got it to that kind of middle area where there's still that criminal crime if you have this small possession. And it doesn't immediately create those thresholds of small personal amounts of allowable drugs. Like they were all over the place. You could have this much cocaine, this much meth, this much heroin, like 40 fentanyl pills. Instead, though, it creates a work. It asks the state health care authority to come up with what those amounts would look like. And I think it's sometime in the middle of or late 2022 that they have to come up with that. But it doesn't. That didn't make Munkhindingra happy. Remember, this was her bill that originally went to the floor yesterday. And she was a no. She was a no vote. And here's what she said on the floor.
I think if the state does not act, there is the opportunity for there really to be this crisscross of drug laws across our state, and enforceability is extremely uncertain. And frankly, one of the main reasons why I would love to see a statewide Blake response is for the treatment. We do know that treatment works. Access to treatment through multiple venues outside of the criminal justice system works. And this is really an incredible opportunity for us to respond with lots of treatment, and treatment that we have had in certain pockets of our state that has shown to be effective, and making sure that those effective treatments we are offering statewide.
So she still likes the treatment and wants to do that. I also just got off the phone with her a half an hour maybe ago, me and some other reporters, and she explained a little bit more about why she voted no.
So the bill before us, the problem with that is that if you don't have that supportive family, if you don't have access to resources, we are asking that you go through the criminal justice system to get that treatment. And that's the problem with the status quo. And so that is where I would love to see the bill fixed. I would either love an expiration date on this or have a default that is more public policy driven rather than criminal justice driven.
She wants it to be public health, right? With a treat it like a public health issue, not like a criminal justice issue.
She's assuming they want treatment.
And that there, at some point, there'll be that window where they will want that treatment. And that's how you get them there. Because the overarching complaint from Democrats who are pushing for the kind of legalization almost is that if you, and she said this on our phone call too, if you leave this criminal component in there, the people who are going to get nailed for this are going to be people of color. They're going to be the people who are stopped. They're going to be the people disproportionately affected. That was the point that she made, and that's why she doesn't want it to be a crime.
So would she feel better if they arrested more white people?
I don't know. I didn't get to ask.
I mean, that's one way to get rid of the disparity, would be to then decide that you're going to just get only white people. So for every black guy or Hispanic guy you pick up a white guy.
I see your point.
That would handle that problem. You have to start from, and I was on the phone for almost 40 minutes with a guy who did, I think, more than 15 years. I sent him to you as well to talk to.
I know, he didn't call me back yet.
His name is Jeff, and he explained to me, he said, I want to explain to you what Seattle is going to look like a year from now. And this guy has been doing meth for 15 or 20 years. And he's clean now, but he tells some stories. And he's like, listen, Seattle and Pierce County, that's the place to go. If you want to get high and you want to get drugs and you want to be able to not be hassled by getting stabbed in the back by somebody or having the popo come get you, go to Seattle and go to Pierce County. And I said, I want you to explain to Hannah what Seattle would look like a year from now when, as they're heading down this path of basically legalizing. And he said, oh, yeah, I'll, and he's a great guy. He explains he didn't get hooked on meth until he was 47 years old.
Wow.
And then he spent 15 years just in the garbage, high all the time, went to jail, came out of jail. I mean, he's got a story that basically just sort of explains, here's what it looks like from the inside. How to buy the drugs, where they're coming from. Go to Tacoma. You get them from MS Gang. What you're supposed to do when you buy them from the MS Gang. How they bring them in. He said, oh, this is Seattle is setting itself up to be a great place for drug addicts. So that's hopefully what we'll hear from somebody who actually knows, not a legislator who's sitting there talking about equality when it comes to, you know, sweeping somebody up because of the color of their skin or something. This guy's going to tell you, here's what it's like to be a drug addict and what Seattle is doing to create the perfect environment as a playground for drug addicts. And hopefully, Hannah, you get a chance to talk to him over the weekend. You can share that with us on Monday. And that's reality. Not this idea of like, oh, we got too many black people, not enough white people, and we're sweeping up the disadvantaged. It's like, nope. Yeah, you will see what you will have when you decide that you do not want to enforce any of these drug laws.
And so, Hannah, I'll tell you go ahead, Sherry, go ahead.
No, I just have a quick question for you, because I think that you know, obviously treatment is the goal for everybody. But the question becomes, is there enough, are there enough resources to provide treatment for anybody who wants it? I mean, most states are woefully inadequate when it comes to that. And can they back that up? If that's something that they're trying to promise as an alternative to the criminal justice system, are there enough resources to do that?
And there is, I had asked her that prior to this vote yesterday on the floor, and there's basically in various counties, we've got kind of a piecemeal system, right? You have these various programs like Health One here in Seattle, which is our paramedics who go out to those in crisis, like if you're dealing with homeless folks on the street who are dealing with addiction. And then you also have in Tacoma, and I think some other places have it now, where you can, it's called the Safe Something Program, where if you're addicted and you decide right there on the spot that you want treatment, you can walk in to that fire department and they will take you there. They will take you to the treatment. There is not, if you will, a brick and mortar set up kind of in-house where you inpatient stay for treatment. There's not that capacity yet. They are in the middle of the governor's five-year plan where they've got these hubs that are set up in individual communities where you have more beds. The idea, though, now, and this is the discussion, is not to have that inpatient treatment, not to have that 28-day program where you go in and you stay like the old days, where you're kind of doing an outpatient thing and there's this community support system. So spread out, there's this differing stuff. It's not very organized, I guess is the way I would put it. And that was something that was going to be in the bill. There's also a whole lot of money being put towards that, towards more treatment in this current budget that they're about to pass, regardless of what happens with the Blake decision. So there's that.
Okay, can we move on to another subject that you have also
been wrestling? I have to say this. Half Republicans, half Democrats voting together, and the other half the other way. It was like the only time in my time here that I've seen this governing like happening, where the debate actually ended up with different parties on different sides. I thought it was very cool. We should mark it down on the calendar.
Marking that one down.
Thank you very much.
We know what day it is because it's the day Tom doesn't show up. Governor Inslee, by the way, the fact that Governor Inslee wishing the couple that's going to be married on Saturday, the governor jumps in and says, what, because they're going to be married outside, I guess he's happy?
From Cairo Radio. First, due to the Pierce County rolling back to phase two tomorrow, a couple has had to disinvite dozens of guests for their wedding, as capacity will be reduced. In the past, you've allowed flexibility for events like this and similar rollbacks. Do you consider doing anything like this time?
The wedding issue, look, it's hard. These are frustrations. I hope the couple will have a great wedding. I hope they have a future where they can all celebrate as much as they can, and I wish them well. I hope they have half as much luck in marriage as I have had.
Yep. be as happy as me and Trudy. That was the end of his answer there. But he had in different rollbacks, and I sent that question to them because I can't remember how many rollbacks ago it was when this happened, but there was, he made some, gave some extra days, if you will, for those people who were, I think it was towards the beginning of the shutdowns, where he allowed people who had weddings planned to go ahead and get those done, and then we're shutting it down, like if it was within 48 hours or something like that. But because it was shocking everybody's plans. But I think now, because so many have been put off for a while, I don't know. He wasn't moving yesterday. But she, I guess, was on, this is Kayla? Yeah. Who is the bride to be? As she was on with Dory, I believe, again today, with reaction to what the governor had to say.
I don't know what kind of answer that is. I don't think he answered the question at all. But that's also the most politician non-answer answer I've ever heard in my life. So I don't really know what I don't speak. I don't know what that means. But I guess thank you. We're gonna have a happy day and a very happy marriage. But it's thankfully, because we were able to get people to really go bend over backwards to try to make something work for us.
To be fair, they doubled up on the question, and they asked my part, the wedding question, and then they tacked on something else from somebody else afterwards.
Yeah.
And he doesn't always do well with the first question when that happens. So it's possible he didn't understand, but it sounded like he knew what was going on.
Okay. Oh. I wanted to ask you, I know that I talked to Jim Walsh this morning, and I know that they were trying to limit the powers of King Jay. I don't think that went anywhere, did it?
No, that failed along party lines, but it was an exciting moment. And you had, the Republican Drew McEwen, whose bill it is, come out and say, look, this isn't even, they said it's not even about that we don't agree with the decisions he's made. It's about the fact that as legislators representing our constituents, we haven't had a voice in the pandemic for over a year. And now we're going to end session, and it's going to be the same way. And that's unacceptable because we need to be the voice of the people. Then Pat Sullivan came on and said, because what they were trying to do was change cutoff, which is what has already passed, so that bill couldn't be now. Not that it would have been probably anyway, but anyway, that's the maneuver they tried to do. And Pat Sullivan came on and said, no, we all agreed to those cutoff dates back at the beginning, so we don't need to do this. That's all they said. Governor Inslee was asked about it yesterday, though, and what he said was, look, the legislature is in session. They can pass bills. It's up to them. They have their lawmakers. They can figure it out. And I would point out that all the lawsuits against my emergency powers have pretty much been successful.
I saw in Pennsylvania four times Pennsylvania tried to shut down Wolf on the same sort of thing. It went to the Supreme Court there, and they said, nope, the governor still has power over it. So I assume that same thing here in the state of Washington. Why do we need elected officials? Just let Jay Inslee take care of it. Hannah, you're the only person I know that uses the word exciting and what were the other words describing these votes? I was Sherry together. You know what? Let's do an intervention here. Hannah, get a life. Have a great weekend. God love her. All right. Monday. Hopefully Monday she gets a chance to talk to Jeff and find out what it's like to spend those years on the streets of Seattle and surrounding areas, enjoying the fact that they do not enforce the drug laws there. All right. Checking in traffic. By the way, I just got notice. Apparently there's a huge backup out near 9. Here we go. Yo, bop, ba-da-ba. There is Sherry right over there. Tom not in on a Friday. We're going to try to learn something new about you again, Sherry, because this is what Jacob thinks it's important people know you.
Okay. Right, well, so
I'm going to put you on the spot. You're around 4 or something, we'll get to know you a little better. But right now, Kia Mortgage is the one you should get to know. If you want to find out more about getting the lowest rates possible and the best service anywhere, Kia Mortgage, if the mortgage is in your future, it's Kia Mortgage helping you out. To Laura Keel and everybody else there at Kia. 1-888-778-KIEL. I saw this story that, this has got to be a Sherry story. Trying to show me up. She said, here's how it works, everybody. The fans of the Tom and Curly Show. Normally on a Friday, I'll read at 5 in the morning. I'll start sending Jacob like annoying stories that I like around 8:30. Oh, but Sherry, going to fill in for Tom. They start flying in around Wednesday. Oh, I found this story, Jacob. So I'm like, look at her. Not even the new girl. Just like the girl who comes in once a week and she's already trying to show me up. This story came flying through the transom at like 8 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. I was like, good Lord. This is all about Lizzo, the musician, the singer Lizzo, who is sings about being very large, sings about you should eat more cake and slam the icing in your face and look at me, I'm getting thicker, thicker, thicker. It's all about this idea of having a positive body image, even though your body would not be what people would consider to be healthy. I'm setting this up for you, okay?
Yeah, exactly. So she is saying that the body positivity movement, if you will, is really not supposed to be co-opted by medium and small women. That this was a movement that started back in the 60s. It was a social movement, social justice movement. And this is for people whose bodies were not considered to be attractive by mainstream society. So it was, she says, it was for big women, big brown and black women, gay women. It's not for someone that's got a little roll of fat here and there. It's for someone that's,
Did she say the same thing on TikTok? I mean, in her own words.
I really don't understand why I can't just exist in my body.
Now the body positivity has been co-opted by all bodies. And people are finally celebrating medium and small girls and people who occasionally get roles. Fat people are still getting the short end of this movement. We're still getting on. We're still getting talked about, memed, shamed, and no one cares anymore because it's like body positivity is for everybody. Yes, please be positive about your body. Please use our movement to empower yourself. That's the point. But the people who created this movement, big women, big brown and black women, queer women, are not benefiting from the mainstream success of it. Our bodies are none of your business. Our health is none of your business. All we ask is that you keep that same energy with these medium girls that you praise.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I would have sent this to Jacob on Wednesday, too, if I had seen it.
See?
So explain this to me. So it's... medium bodies, they don't deserve, there's no positivity. You have to be, you got to be obese. And then when you're obese, then you can't co-op it. Is there a weight limit? Like you got to be over 300 pounds?
Well, I think what she's saying is that now this self-love, it's synonymous with self-love, this whole body positivity thing. And it's really not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be reserved for these women who started this movement back in the 60s. And that now they're the women who aren't getting any love for this. They're not being really paid attention to and they're not being respected. But now we're doing this, you know, oh, you're so great. You're so wonderful. Love yourself, even though you're 10 pounds overweight or 30 pounds overweight, but not 100 pounds overweight.
Oh, my God.
So she's just saying it needs to be more fair.
Fair how? Who determines what fair is? They're asking, is everybody's supposed to get attention, but only you're supposed to only give attention to one person or to a group of people that are over a certain amount of weight? I mean, this is absurd.
John, she said, keep the same energy for fat girls. That's all she's asking.
Okay. Can everybody agree on a couple of things? One, obesity is not healthy. Is that horrible to say?
Well, she also said something, or one of the people in this article said something about that health is the stick that is used now to beat fat people. That it's really not, that it really shouldn't be about that. That, as you heard her say as well, it's nobody's business what my health is. You're supposed to love me and respect me and not shame me just because I'm overweight.
Okay.
But go on.
Let's flip it around and let's assume someone is anorexic. Okay. So Karen Carpenter will go way, 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 way back. Karen Carpenter or somebody else that's goes from 130 or 150 pounds and then they start with an eating disorder and they drop into the 70s. At this point, this person, pretty good chance they're going to have cardiac arrest. They've got a whole bunch of other things that are happening, renal failure, things that shut down. So can we agree that somebody can get too skinny, that it actually causes health problems?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Right. Now, the transverse of that, can we also agree that somebody gets too fat, that it causes stroke, heart disease, diabetes? Is it possible it goes the other way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So then we can determine that body size and health can be connected.
I think so.
And it has nothing to do with it doesn't do with shame. It just happens to do with this is probably not the best state for your body to be in as you get bigger and bigger or thinner, but somehow we're supposed to accept that, oh, because you're black and you're overweight, therefore we're not allowed to judge, we can only love. And are people not allowed to have an opinion about it?
I don't know what her objective is here, other than I think that to say that she's tired of skinnier women taking the spotlight away from the heavy set women that this movement was intended to promote.
I see. Okay.
So
do you think she would be as popular and have as much money and as much success if she dropped 200 pounds?
I think she would reinvent herself. I don't know. I'm not a fan of her music, so I couldn't speak for her, you know, the people that like her. But she certainly made a pretty good following being the size that she is.
Yes, I agree. Okay. I'm just looking through the rundown. Look at all the other stories you sent in. Jacob, you're not playing favorites, are you? I mean, like, Sherry's moving to the front of the class, and, you know,
Every time I send one, what do I say? It's for your review and to disregard. So there's always a disclaimer.
Oh, yeah, that's a passive-aggressive thing. Like, oh, just don't mind me. I'll just be in the back of the car. My hand out the window. Don't mind me. Tracy Taylor, what's going on out there on I-90? All right, welcome back, everybody. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973. Come on in through the State Roofing text line. All are welcome. Teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. I sent Jacob a picture or some video of Lady Bits. What's the name of that horse again? I can't remember the brown and white one. And then
Lady Treasure.
Lady Treasure. Sorry. Yes. And beautiful, beautiful horse. And the little thing that the little thing that the teeny tiny lady comes in on, I sent that to Jacob as well, just because feeding the Facebook monster that we have to occasionally awaken and throw something into the mouth of, like a shark, for instance. This is a story about people occasionally. This is the there's no perfect defense against shark bites, but this wearable tech might help, according to researchers. Another story that seems like a Sherry story.
I thought this was kind of interesting, and I thought it was interesting because I can't believe it's such a small percentage of people that actually get bitten by sharks that they're doing research on how to prevent this. So guess how many – I just wanted you to take a guess. Well, you probably read the story, so you probably already know this. But in the next 46 years, how many people do they think will probably be bitten by a shark?
In 46, bitten by a shark, just bitten, I don't know, 7.
Well, 1,063, but 46 years.
That's what I meant. Right, I know. I meant 7 every 4 months. Do the math. I would assume that the technical people that came up with this thing went into Shark Tank to pitch it, because that's the only thing that I could think. Why would anyone want to invest in this thing? Because there's such, as you say, such a small amount of people. And who would want to buy the device in the first place to help them? You have to be so paranoid about sharks or something. Is it worn on the wrist?
Yeah, they say people probably will wear it. It's this electronic device that you would wear. They tried electronic stuff. They tried magnets. They tried shark repelling wax and put that on people. Mm-hmm. Part of the problem, John, was that they can't really go into the ocean and try this. So they had to try it in this sort of controlled environment, I guess, like a big tank. This last year, well, in 2020, there were 57 unprovoked shark bites in the U.S. and Australia. But usually it's like 15% of the people that get bitten by a shark die. But for the most part, it's very rare. And they say that it's movies like Jaws that have caused us to become so paranoid that they think that there's a market for this, because people really get concerned when they go into the ocean.
Yeah, and then you're going to trust that thing. You know, you don't bother reading the directions because there's too many, and or they're all in German, French, or some other language. So you skip that. You watch about two minutes into a YouTube of how to put the thing on your wrist, and then you go out into the water,
right,
feeling you're going to be safe. I like it, but unprovoked. You mean there's people out there provoking sharks? That's the other part of it.
Yes.
I always say to Tom, all the time, oh, really? They're out there provoking the sharks? I say to Tom, if you have a choice, and I'll ask you, so you have a choice between blowing your thumb off with a firework or losing a part of your arm to a shark, which do you choose? And there is a right answer to this.
Oh, there is? Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm picking the thumb because you can live a little bit easier with one thumb than with one arm.
Wrong. Let me explain why. All right.
Okay.
Because it's a story. It all comes down. How'd you lose your thumb? Ah, firework. Right. And then people are like, yeah, you're an idiot. But if you lose like a major part of your arm to a shark, then you got a story. You got people gathered around. Oh, you get people buying you drinks. There's parties. You get Hallmark cards. Hey, sorry about your arm, but you don't nothing about the thumb. You just nothing. You're just a dumbskull with missing a thumbskull. So that's why you say if given a choice, you'd go shark takes the arm.
Yeah, but you're in the grocery store. You can't get a bunch of stuff because you can't have your arm. You better hope there's people around that you can tell the story to keep you happy,
right,
because otherwise.
Yeah. And you say, excuse me, could you reach up there?
Right.
Can you get that for me? Because I got my arm bitten off by a shark. And then they go, oh my gosh. And then they hand it to you and you're like, yeah.
Okay, see? All right. Like, or you could just lie and say your thumb got bitten off by a shark. And then you get the best of both worlds.
Wrong! Okay. Can't do that because people sniff that out.
All right.
Glad I could help you with that, Tracy Taylor.